Here's what's coming up on today's show.
This is our purpose. This is our job scope. It's to give people that are otherwise not experts in this area the guidance and the understanding about how some of these things work.
When it comes to your finances, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. Tim Dyer can help. He's a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management, and he can be that financial coach that helps you achieve your goals in retirement. This is Retirement Power Play.
Glad to have you back inside the Retirement Power Play podcast. I'm Ben George. He's Tim Dyer, Dyer Wealth Management. Tim, I know people listen to this podcast and they're looking for financial guidance, but probably the question that comes back around is, do I actually need to work with an advisor? Is it actually necessary for me to work with somebody to manage my wealth? You get that question?
Yeah, we get that question a lot in our initial meetings with people when we meet people for the first time. In some cases, we've met with people that have been working with a financial advisor that maybe they feel like they haven't gotten what they signed up for. That's one angle. And then there's other people that have never worked with an advisor and the stakes are getting a little bit higher, or maybe they've lost interest in doing this to the degree that they feel that they need to do it, manage all of their finances, et cetera. So they come in from a variety of different angles, but I guess I'll take this up to 50,000 feet here for a second, if I may, Ben.
Go for it. You're the pilot.
All right, so the firm here is Dyer Wealth Management, right? And I guess the first thing I could do is say, what is wealth management? And let me explain how I define wealth management. I think of it like an umbrella that uncovers sort of three main areas. And that first area is what I would call planning. And underneath planning, there's a variety of different things. Maybe it's setting up a retirement income plan. Maybe it's something like an estate plan, long-term goals, which is typically known as a financial plan. But planning, that's bucket number one. Bucket number two is investment management. And some firms, they outsource that. Some firms do it in-house. We happen to offer a combination of those things. We have strategies that we manage here directly. And then we have other what we call satellite strategies that we kind of pair up with existing strategies for clients to, you know, give them an overall diversified strategy that helps them meet the goals that they're looking for. The third component is everything else, right? The third silo encompasses taxes, tax reduction strategies. You could lump some other things in there like risk management, partnering up with other professionals in specific areas that have niche expertise, right? So those are kind of the three different silos, the planning, the investing, and then the taxes plus other strategic partnerships, right? Mm-hmm. And so you need to look at where you are in your life. And you need to look at, is it something that is concerning to you? Is it something that, and it doesn't have to be, I don't understand this stuff, I need some help with it. That's one angle. But it could be the opposite. Maybe you have a lot of money sitting in cash, and you just don't know what to do with it. I know we recently talked about the Silicon Valley Bank scenario, and what we thought was safe and secure, maybe wasn't the case. So getting some clarity around that or a second set of eyes on what those opportunities might be are another reason why people can choose to work with a wealth manager or a financial advisor. I'll deviate here for a second too, in that there's a lot of names, acronyms in the industry, mm-hmm. but they're not all the same. A financial advisor, the way I define it, is typically somebody that is working at a large, well-known, major firm. That's not a bad thing. Their primary focus is typically around the investment management part of things. Again, this is a bit of a blanket statement, but the planning is sort of a secondary around that. Now, when you hear financial planner, it's sort of the inverse of that. Those are people that are real heavy specifically on the planning side of things. And a lot of them don't even manage the investments or even outsource it. They say, you figure it out how you want to invest that type of thing. Again, this is a very, very broad stroke, and there's a million different combinations of the things. But financial planner, financial advisor, wealth manager, again, I think of it like an umbrella kind of over those two things. They offer that comprehensive financial planning services along with the implementation and investment management. And then you tie in the taxes to that. That's why all three of those things. If you don't do taxes, and this is Tim Dyer's opinion, but I don't mean tax prep, but if you're not doing tax planning or reviewing somebody's tax returns, you're not a wealth manager, right?
Right.
See that? I just put my foot down, Ben.
I made a statement. Drew the line in the sand.
I drew the line. And you know, look, financial planners will say certain things. That's fine. Insurance agents will say certain things. Investment advisors, financial advisors will say certain things, or lines in the sand. I was sort of deviating between the discussing between the different parts. But I wanted to share something with you or the listeners out there that actually recently came in. I was working with a client just recently. Again, at the time of this conversation, a lot of turmoil around what was happening in the banking. It was pretty, second largest bank in history, Silicon Valley Bank, had just went under. But this is our job scope. It's to give people that are otherwise not experts in this area the guidance and the understanding about how some of these things work and how they can get these things to work in their best interest. So that they can do the things that they want to do. And so that kind of, puffs me up here a little bit. So not only do I want to help protect people make sure and reduce that stress level around things, right? That's what financial advisors do. But I also want you to focus. Let's take that a step further, Ben, and I want people to focus on the things that they want to focus in on their life. I'll give you a funny story. My son, Luke, is, just over four, right? He's not quite four and a half. But he started jiu-jitsu, right, with one of his buddies from school. And I got to tell you, one of the highlights of my week is my house is not far from the office, and it's not far from the little jiu-jitsu studio here in downtown La Jolla. But to go get this guy and take him to his class at 3:30, he's in his little jiu-jitsu outfit, and there's 20 other kids in there. And I was thinking about that the other day because work had been, there'd been some things going on. I'm like, man, I put all that stuff behind me, and I'm enjoying my life right now. I'm watching my kid, wrestle around and get his new belt color and whatnot. It was really cool, right? So beside the X's and O's of the investing and the planning, all that stuff is the means to the end. And the end is to enjoy life, right? If we had unlimited funds, what would you be doing? And let's figure out a way to do more of that stuff in our lives. And so that, we get everything we can out of this. It's not just about the X's and O's and the numbers. It's about then just having the confidence and ability to go to your kid or grandkid's jiu-jitsu class. And that, my friend, I think is my reason why you need to work with a financial advisor, or it might make sense for you too. Not in all cases.
Right. Yeah. That's a great point. I just think from what you said, and I think when you went through the kind of the breakdown of the different types of people that work in the financial industry, I guess a lot of times people will probably lump you all together. Right. I think that's kind of a lot of the hesitation is, what's the difference between you and a financial advisor? You laid it out clearly here for us, but I think there's often that misconception of what can you actually do for me? But I think this kind of helps that.
Yeah, I do need to clarify that in the fact that there are no formal definitions, right?
Right.
When I started in 1998, I was called an investment consultant. Very formal. right. And that term sort of, and that's when I was working at a major firm, large, well-known firm. And then that kind of moved in the title of financial advisor, and then they just put president, vice president, super hyper, you know, executive vice president, whatever it is.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that term sort of morphed into that. Financial planners don't call themselves financial advisors. Financial advisors don't really call themselves financial planners. Wealth managers, you know, they do call themselves wealth managers. And again, the public kind of just looks at it as all the same. But I think the key, and if there's anything that you take away from this, it's when you talk to a financial professional, ask them the services that they provide. And then also, don't be afraid to ask them, are there any services maybe that you don't provide or that kind of relate to what we're talking about? I tell people, look, we do not prepare taxes, right? Even after we have a conversation about taxes, we're not going to prepare your return. We can refer you, if you don't have one, to an expert or a strategic partner that can. But you see what I'm saying. It's understanding as it relates to, you know, the client or prospective client situation, what services you're going to provide. And certainly along with that, what it costs to provide that service. And then you'll, when you talk to a few people, you'll start to see those differences. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I got to say about that.
For anyone that's maybe listening to this, Tim, and just kind of thinking, okay, maybe it is time for me to reach out and actually kind of have a conversation, whether with you or with another financial professional around them, what's that initial like communication look like when they first finally do reach out to you?
Sure, sure. Well, okay, let me just give you from my perspective and some of the experiences that happen. These conversations usually start in a couple of different ways. Now, number one, if a client is or the person that is reaching out, they might be a friend of a existing client of mine. So that you know, I guess we'd call that a referral. So they might have asked their friend, hey, do you have anybody that you work with on this? And they give them my name, and it starts that way. Okay. I'll pause there on that. Another way is we do live events, right? We've got this this podcast. We do webinars. We do live events, you know, educational dinners, seminars, things like that throughout the year. And so we meet people that way, and people engage with us to start a conversation, you know, in those types of events as well. But in either case, whether they're sort of referenced in or referred in from an existing client, or we meet them at a live event, it usually leads to, you know, getting on our calendar for what we call an intro call. Now, this is just for two people, or, you know, us to speak with a couple or a family, just about, hey, what's going on? Why are we here? What are we looking to solve? What are some top of mind issues that sort of, you know, pushed you to take action to reach out on this? You start to get, you know, to each person it's unique, but most of the things that I hear from people are things that I've dealt with before, right? Now we might add some other things that they hadn't thought about, right? The second derivative, if you will, the additional items that they might not have known relate to their situation. So we'll bring that up. But then from there, then we would lay out what the next steps would be. For some people, it might just be referring them to a specific professional, maybe in the estate planning or tax area, just using an example. It might be for us to set up, you know, what is known as a discovery meeting. And that's where we're going to carve out some time, and we're going to focus in and get a little bit more granular on some of these different topics. Talk about the actual numbers, talk about, you know, all the inputs, and maybe assumptions that might go into formulating a solution or strategy around that. And then from there, after that, you know, in that process, it's usually followed up with an assessment or a review of what we've discussed and what those recommended strategies might be. And that's usually where the clients engage and say, yes, we would like you to help us implement this strategy or whatever that might be. But I think going back to your original question is, what does that outreach look like? And it usually, no matter how it kind of comes in, it leads to getting on a calendar and just having a normal conversation like you'd have with a friend or a neighbor or a work colleague or something, just about kind of what we're here to try and solve.
right?
And a little bit more, you know, deep dive into some of the things that we have or can do potentially from a service perspective, maybe help you achieve those. And if we're not a great fit, then we're happy to point somebody through our experience who would be a, you know, better fit for that particular person. So
great. Well, I love it, Tim. And I think that answers some questions for people that are curious about, you know, what an advisor or a financial professional or a wealth manager in your case can do for them. So if you have questions, 858-459-3937, that is the number to call, or just log on dyerwm.com to get Dyer Wealth Management. All right, Tim, I appreciate your time as always, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks.
I am a financial professional, and I approve this podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Retirement Power Play podcast. For Tim Dyer, I'm Ben George. Have a good week.
The commentary on this podcast reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, DBA Dyer Wealth Management employees making such comment and should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Dyer Wealth Management or performance returns of any Dyer Wealth Management Investments client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referred for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Dyer Wealth Management provides advisory services through Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Dyer Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Dyer Wealth Management unless a client service agreement is in place.